Hi, my name is Reagan Gillen, pastor of adult discipleship here at Christ United, and I'm thrilled to be here in Table of Grace, sharing this space with your pastor, Stephanie Reed Meyer, and I'm excited to be wrapping up this series, Book of Joy. Now, if you haven't been with us the last few weeks, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the previous three sermons as we went through this book that was a conversation with Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Now, today we're talking about gratitude, and so I wanted to share with you how I start every morning. When I wake up, this is what I say. I am fortunate to be alive. I have a precious human life. I am not going to waste it. That's not what I do. I wish I did, but let me tell you how my morning usually goes. First of all, I don't get to wake up when I want to. I'm usually woken up by the sounds of my 13-month-old son, who I share a wall with, and for some reason really loves the texture of his wall. So usually he's scratching on it or banging on it or talking very loudly. Luckily, my 4.5-year-old pretty much takes care of herself, so I don't have to worry about her too much. But, you know, I barely get my eyes open. They're usually very, very dry. And first of all, I think, is it still 2020? Yeah, it is. Okay. And then I slowly get out of bed because I have a bad back. And I always wonder, is today going to be the day that it goes out? I don't know. And then I shuffle around and I realize, oh my gosh, we need to get ready. So I'm constantly shouting, faster, faster, Andy, get ready, get ready. We're going to be late. We're going to be late. So I have to make sure the kids are fed and dressed and my husband's helping and we're doing all these things and making sure their lunches have all the food groups so people don't think I'm a bad parent. I got to make sure that my son's diaper bag is full, that there's actually diapers in it and changes of clothes. I got to make sure that he has milk. I have to make sure I have my work bag and all the books and all the things that I need for my day. Is the stroller in there? All of that. So every morning there's usually some yelling, there's some tears, usually both by me. So this whole concept of, I am fortunate to be alive, I have a precious human life, I'm not going to waste it, does not cross my mind in the morning. And so when I read that Chris decided that we were going to focus on the pillar of gratitude, because there's lots of pillars in this book of joy, I thought, really? This is the one you landed on? This is the one that you wanted to do? I mean, it's 2020. It's really not the year we're going to remember of the year of gratitude. So I first thought, should I lie? Can I make up stuff in my sermon? Is that okay? I don't know. But then as I started thinking about it, I thought, maybe talking about gratitude is exactly what we need to be talking about. So in the Bible, there's so many beautiful passages, a lot of Psalms that have to do about giving thanks to God. But today we're going to focus on one, Psalm 103, which is really talking about the goodness of God. And so let's go ahead and read Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made his ways known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, I know that was a long passage, but it's a beautiful one. And I feel like we could probably just sit with that and pray on that, meditate on that, and think about who God is. I read that, and there's something in me that says, yeah, I know that. I can get on board with that. But there's something that doesn't, there's a disconnect almost, if I'm being honest. I want to be grateful. I want to be there, but I kind of struggle. And thing is, I know all the benefits of living this life of gratitude. There's so much science behind it. We know that there's physical effects of gratitude. We know that in our brain, it releases good endorphins. It releases things that make us feel good. Being grateful improves our sleep. I love sleep. It reduces feelings of anxiety and depression. It even helps with it, obviously, better moods. We all know what it's like to be around people that are more grateful. They smile more. There's something about that that makes them more welcoming to be around. But even more than that, there's when you're grateful, you have less fatigue, less inflammation. You can even reduce the risk of heart failure. So I know that there's something about living a life of gratitude that is really important, not only spiritually, but in our mind, but for our physical bodies. So I kept thinking, why do I have trouble? Why do I read scripture like this and know this to be true, but still struggle to live a life of gratitude? And there's two things that I think I kind of came up with. One, we live in the past, or we live in the future instead of the now. And second, we focus on the negative rather than the positive. So with the past, we all know what it's like. We know someone that loves to recall the big game of their senior year of high school, or that was the prom queen, or whatever. Kind of like how my husband loves to talk about how great the Cowboys were. Apparently, I can't talk smack about the Cowboys because they were so great. They have so many rings from the 90s. I'm like, give it up already. Those days, that's in the past, right? Now, granted, we have things to be grateful for. Jason Garrett's gone. Tony Romo's gone. We get that. But we all know those people that are so focused on what was that they can't even be grateful for what is right in front of them. We think, oh, those were the glory days. That was the best it was going to be. And so we're continually comparing everything and everyone to the past. But it's funny, when you start digging into history or maybe asking questions of your friends and family, retelling stories, you realize, oh, that's not how I remember it. Or maybe it's not as good as I remember. We often look at the past with rose-colored glasses. See, not everything in the past was as good as you remember. See, our mind does a wonderful job at filling in gaps, which can be a useful tool with trauma. There's healing in that. But I think there's something about us that we really have to let go and stop comparing everything to what was, because we miss out on the chance to be grateful for now. But living in the future, that's not any better. Now, I think we should have dreams, we should have hopes, we should always be looking at least somewhat to what is ahead, but we can't always be there. Stephanie preached a wonderful message a few weeks ago about how we are using the word, well, until a lot. Well, things will, you know, until this happens, this can't happen. And so we're constantly, we're struggling living with what is to come. And it's understandable. We're in the middle of a pandemic. We're tired of the way things are. And so we want so badly to get out of this. The problem is we don't know how long this is going to last. We know some things are going to be different for quite some time. And so if we're continually thinking about this, you may miss out on a whole year, 18 months of what's going on right now, the things that are good right now that God is doing, the fact that God's nature, that God has this steadfast love. I feel like right now God is probably really frustrated with us, waving hand and saying, you know, I'm still here. I'm doing things all the time. I am doing a new thing. I'm here and I want you to see it and I want you to be part of it. And yet, it's like we're looking right past God. We're just distracted. So think about the Dalai Lama. If he would have spent all his time thinking about the past and how good it was, although I don't know if it was entirely always good for him, but if he would have been so focused at, oh, before the exile, of all he talked about before the exile, I think he would have been missing out on what he was able to do, right? He would have not become the person he has. He would have not met the people he had. He would not have made as big an impact if he would have always been talking about what was before. Or if Desmond Tutu, if he would have just kind of been stuck thinking about the future and not focused on the work of dismantling apartheid in South Africa, if he would have always been thinking about that, maybe he would have missed some steps. Maybe the work hadn't been done. There's something about these two men that seemed extremely grateful for whatever came their way because they knew there were lessons in it, that it helped shape them into the men they are. It helped their beliefs. It strengthened them. It brought them closer for Desmond Tutu to God. See, if two men like that, if two men can be, that have experienced what they have experienced, have gone through what they have gone, what they're still going through, if they can be grateful, surely we can. And so for us, I think whether it's when we reminisce about our once athleticism ability or our flat stomachs or our full heads of hair, or if we get stuck dreaming of that bigger house, that fuller bank account, when the kids are gone, you know, if we're stuck looking at both of those, I think we're going to miss out on so much right now, what we have to be grateful for. See, I really am so moved by this psalm because it, if you go back and read it, which I encourage you to do, it's this reminder of God doing things now. And I think we're kind of in this system or this time where we think God is silent. God is not moving. And I think this psalm is true for when it was written and for today. I mean, God is forgiving. God is healing. God is redeeming. God is working for vindication and justice for all who oppress. God is still doing all of that. And it may be hard to see, but it's happening. We really do have a lot to be grateful for. But the other thing that makes it hard to have this life of gratitude is focusing on the negative rather than the positive. So this congregation doesn't know me very well, but I have this uncanny ability to spin something really negative and be pessimistic if I want. It's pretty incredible. It's a spiritual gift, if you will. See, the thing is, I'm a very positive and happy and easygoing person, but for some reason, it's like a game to see how I can ruin something with a comment or a thought. I know it's not healthy. I should probably talk to my counselor about it. But it just shows how easy it is to turn something negative and let the negative win. Like, I can even take this beautiful scripture and complain. Again, it's a beautiful, joyous thankfulness of who God is, and I can turn it. Let me just show you what I'm talking about. So when I read, "Who heals all your diseases," I think, well, why did I have one in the first place? Why are we sick? Why do you allow that? "Who redeems your life from the pit?" Well, why was I in the pit? "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger." Why was God angry at me? What did I do? You hurt my feelings, God. But we can do that a lot. See, we can spin things either negatively or positively. And right now, spinning things positively, pushing towards living this life of gratitude is hard. Because I don't know a single person who has said 2020, man, that's a great year. I've yet to meet anyone. There's another thing that you'll learn about me is that I have this deep, deep love for the show Parks and Recreation. And there's this character named Chris Traeger, who's played by the never-aging Rob Lowe, who's this extremely positive and uplifting character. We find out in one episode that he had a blood disorder when he was a kid, and so he is just grateful for every day. And when the character Leslie Knope is running for a campaign for city council, he's on the spin team, and his job is to turn anything, any blow to the campaign, any unforeseen circumstance, and spin it positively. See, he lives his life of gratitude. And I think for us that the negative and the doom and the gloom has a lot of power over us right now. It doesn't take long to look, and I don't know about you, but I feel like the scales are kind of tipped right now. And everything seems so negative and horrible. Maybe I need to get off social media. Maybe I need to turn off the news. Maybe I need to take a walk or something. But this is a year that we could really dwell on the negative. And we could continue to be ungrateful and complain and compare. Or we could fully see what is going on and figure out how to live a life of gratitude. See, both the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, through the whole book, so much that they lay out on this quest to be joyful, or this quest to have this life of gratitude. It's on us. It's a choice that we have. We always have the choice to choose things of joy. We always have the ability to think about something that we are thankful for. For me, I've taken some of the practices of this book and reframed things and added something different for me so I can live more of a life of gratitude and let go of the negativity. And it means getting rid of my buts. So stay with me. Here's an example of things that I have said. "I did not like being stuck at home, but I'm so thankful I got a bonus maternity leave. My husband makes such a mess when he cooks, but I'm thankful that he cooks. This job has me overwhelmed, but I'm so thankful I have a job. I'm so tired and exhausted from raising kids, but I'm so thankful I get the chance to be a mom." What if I just said, "I'm so thankful I got essentially a bonus maternity leave and I got to be home with my son"? What if I just said, "I'm so thankful I have a husband who cooks. I'm so thankful I have a job. In a job that I love. I'm so thankful I get the chance to be a mom." See, I feel like we always have to add something, whether we can insert a but negatively. But I feel like we need to challenge ourselves to really just speak gratitude out. Give thanks to God. You know, in my research for this sermon, one group that kept popping up when I was researching about those that live a life of gratitude, those that were recovering from addictions came up a lot. And I found this article entitled Exercising Gratitude by Joanne Campbell Rice, which was featured on the Betty Ford site. And she says this: gratitude is a muscle that develops with practice. The more we appreciate and express our appreciation, the more we are able to see and feel the daily gifts of life and sobriety. Taking time to notice natural beauty, keeping a list of things that are going well, and sharing what we appreciate about our partner or children with them daily keeps us on the path of recovery, just as strong muscles keep bones in place. Gratitude is a magnet. By focusing on what I do have rather than what I don't have, gratitude draws the best of any given moment, person, or situation. Everyone has character assets and defects, and when I focus on the best in others, that's usually how they show up. It's an interesting thought. Appreciating what I have, savoring the good, focusing on what's working, feeling the contentment of the moment, and thinking others are actions that change my consciousness. Lastly, she continues, she says this: gratitude is a gauge of spiritual fitness and emotional health. Resentment and resistance are the calling cards of my inner addict. Gratitude, appreciation, and thankfulness come from my innermost self, which is connected to my higher power. The more grateful and thankful I feel, the more useful I am, which is a goal of step 12. Being grateful, truly grateful, actually feels a lot better than talking about what I'm missing, what's not good enough, and what could be better. The psalm we read today was written after the Babylonian exile, which some would say was a really hard time for God's people. And we have this beautiful psalm, this amazing gratitude of who God is, the goodness of God. And instead of being bitter or anger, they write this beautiful song of praise. And it made me think that when we live in this negative sort of way of living, when I have this ungrateful heart, I'm convicted because it feels like I'm not living the resurrection, that I'm focused on the tomb, or I'm focused on the cross rather than the resurrection, what comes after the newness, the positivity. See, as people of faith, we have so much to be grateful for. Maybe you want to adopt the Dalai Lama's saying for when you wake up. Or maybe we want to kick it back and recite an old favorite psalm. Maybe you sang it in a song as a child that says this: this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. May we wake up with gratitude and spend every day giving thanks and blessing the Lord. Amen.